This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ramon Sosa is on the line right now. Famous Texas boxing coach. But if you've seen the story, if you've seen the E60 on ESPN, Dead Man Walking, and you can still go to ESPN.com and catch it. But he had to go through detectives, fake his own death to get out of a murder-for-hire plot. Through his wife.
It's a crazy story. We're talking about this. Let me get him on. I'm not going to try to reestablish this. I want to hear it in his words.
Our next guest is a successful Texas boxing trainer who made headlines when, along with help from the police, he faked his own execution after learning of his wife's plans to have him killed. And he tells his story in the ESPN E60 special, Dead Man Walking, available on ESPN.com. Please welcome Ramon Sosa.
I'm never getting married, Ramon.
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me on your show.
Man, what a crazy story. This is, I have so many friends who have been married, gotten divorced. I've seen it get ugly, but I've never seen it get this ugly. You guys, you're married. Did you have any idea that it was going that bad with her?
Oh, no, definitely not. You know, like, 50% of the marriages in the United States end up in divorce. And, of course, you know, things didn't work out for us, and we were trying to work it out. And we went through counseling. We went through all kind of stuff. And it just wasn't going to work out. It was just supposed to be a simple divorce. But, you know, of course, she decided to have me killed for the benefit of enriching herself, basically.
To take your boxing money. You had a gym, correct?
Yeah, we had a business together, and in the boxing business, and we're doing pretty well. The business is doing real well, and she decided that the divorce was not going her way, basically.
Yeah.
And she thought, I guess, that hey, it's not going my way, so I got to make this thing happen, so I can
live
happily ever after.
Like she was a hot girl. I mean, like I get it. Why is it always the crazy ones are always the most fun for a while?
Yeah.
And then you're like, God damn, that's too crazy. So your buddy hears her talking about wishing she could have you killed. So he fakes it out and goes, I can get that done to get her to tell him what she's got going on.
Yeah, what's so crazy, man, is that this young man that she approached is a young man that I mentor and help get out of he had a little dicey background back in the, he was in gangs and he was tough. He was a tough guy that had a tough background. And he just happened to walk into a conversation that she was having and he pulled her to the side and asked her. And the reason I'm here talking to you guys today is because of him. Because if it wasn't for him, I don't know, I think she would have gotten away with it or at least had me killed.
Yeah, so he says, I can get a throwaway for $100. And he thinks that'll be enough proof. So she gives him $100. He comes to you. And what does he tell you?
First, I didn't believe when he called me after having a conversation with her, he called me and I was driving. I pulled it to the side and I was upset. And first I thought it was a joke because, he likes to joke around. And I said, look, Mundo, this is not a joke. We're messing around. I was upset. And he said, nah, man. He told me, he called me Pops. I said, Pops, I see this look in people's faces. I want to kill somebody. So she's for real.
And so you guys go to the cops and go, hey, this is what's happening. And it would seem like that would be enough evidence that she gave him the money, but it wasn't. You guys had to go farther.
Yeah, the police department here where I live, they did an excellent job. They immediately got the FBI involved and the Texas Rangers and state troopers. They all came. I mean, they started working on it as soon as possible because, she wanted it done quick as possible because our divorce was about to be ended in about a month. And so she knew that she said that if I was, if it didn't happen before then, my kids, because I have three kids with Pierce Nez, would get everything and that she would not get any of the money. So they did their job in the investigation. They brought in their own undercover officer and to meet with her and my friend Mundo. and they had their own deal going. And then finally at the end, I thought they had enough information, but they came up to me and said, look, man, you know, we got to do something else. You know, she's a beautiful lady. She's never been in trouble with the law. She's a mother, and, you know, we just want this to be a slam dunk case. So what we're going to do, we're going to make you fake your death. You know, we're going to take a picture of you in a makeshift hole in the ground, you know, like a grave site with a bullet hole on the side of your head. And I said, what are you talking about, man? I said, yeah, that's what we're going to do. And that's exactly what they did.
How crazy. And you must have been like, get them out of here. So you now you think, okay, this is what we got to get done. Who digs the hole? When you get out in the middle, by the way, I assume they just took you out in the middle of the desert somewhere.
Yeah, it was really not a desert. I know they said people said, but it was. As a matter of fact, it wasn't that far from my business. There was, you know, there's some wooded area not too far from my business, and they already had it set up, you know, with the city where they were going to dig up the hole. I mean, I guess the city didn't know, but they were digging up a hole for. But the police department and the detectives, they dug up a hole and made it look
like a hand dug grave.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Yeah, so then the makeup artist goes, hey, we're going to put this fake bullet hole. And I love haunted houses and all that stuff, and I have a buddy with a haunt. So I know, like, these prosthetics exist, and they did a good job. I mean, they made an entrance wound, and they didn't do an exit like it was blown out on the back, which would have been interesting. But you don't want to overcomplicate it, I guess.
Yeah. And you know what's so crazy about that, man? They have brought some... The detectives have shown me pictures of actual dead people with wounds to their head, and they would sit there on a table in a briefing room, and they picked up and said, okay, this is what we're going to use right here as a, you know, to what this is what you're going to look like. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this are really, really, this are dead people, you know, that actually would bullet holes through the head. And these guys, I thought they were for real, but you know what? They got that from YouTube, watching a YouTube video. and they got all this stuff from YouTube. And I'm thinking, look, you know, my ex-wife, she's good with, you know, photography. And she's, you know, she does all that Photoshop and all that stuff. I don't know if she's going to go for this. And I said, well, it's going to have to work.
So they get you there. You're shirtless. And they buy which by the way, why shirtless? Was there a reason why? I guess it just seems more gruesome.
Yeah, they I guess they wanted to make it seem like I was beat up because I asked her before that if they just wanted the undercover officer even asked her, said, look, do you want us to just beat him up? And she said, no, he's better to me dead. I want him dead.
And they did bloody your nose. Your mouth is bloody in that picture. Your nose is bleeding. The bullet wound is bleeding down your neck onto your chest. And your hands are cuffed behind your back in this hole. And when you're laying down there like that, are you like, man, this is a little much?
Yeah. I mean, it was incredible how, you know, it looked like a movie scene, basically. You know, all I heard was, when my eyes closed, all I heard was the camera clicking, 35 millimeter, just clicking nonstop. And another officer telling me how to pose, and they would drop dirt on my head, and it felt like a scene or from a movie.
Man, did you try it with your eyes open, like the dead guy stare?
No, I did. I just did what they told me to do, and I was just ready to go. You know, it was hot. You know, in Houston at the time of the year, it's very, very hot, and we were in that. You know, it took it seemed like it was forever. And, you know, when I have my eyes closed, I kept thinking, like, what the heck do we have to go through this? You know, why this just ended up like this? It was just a simple divorce.
Right. So now you have to disappear, and they've got to take the picture over to your ex-wife.
Yeah, that's what they did. They took me to a hotel not far, you know, about maybe a couple of hours from Houston. And nobody knew. I mean, not even nobody. My family, my friends, you know, Mundo, nobody. Nobody. They just hit me. And that was the whole thing, that they wanted to make it seem like I was dead and nobody knew where I was at, and make it think that they had done the job. And the undercover officer went back and showed her the picture on his phone to show her proof. And there she was, you know, and they got her, they got the pictures, they have the evidence, recording of her laughing, you know, when they showed her the picture of me dead. And she even asked the officer, the undercover officer, so he's not getting up, right? He's dead. And he was like, yeah, he's dead. He's not getting up.
God, so she's laughing. And at what point, because tell me there's at least a place where you get to walk into the room and go, so you thought I was dead.
I think when they arrested her, the next day they went and arrested her in my office, in my business. And they arrested her in front of customers, in front of her mother, her daughter. They were all there, and they went and arrested her. They did a missing person report, and she kind of was like, "Oh, I don't know what's going on. I'm looking for him too." You know, she acted like it was, you know, like she was worried about me.
Right.
And they pulled and said, "No, you're under arrest." And then she was like, "Well, for what?" I said, "Well, you know for what? You know, solicitation of first degree capital murder." He was locked up for, and then she had $1 million bond. But the first time I saw her was for her first hearing. And of course, I guess by then she knew. And I walked into the courtroom, and it was the most horrific thing I was, you know, seeing her all in chained up in that jumpsuit. And the first thing that I noticed was her shoes, because this lady, she loved to wear expensive stuff and expensive, very, very expensive shoes. And here she was, you know, wearing those $1 state shoes, all chained
up. Yeah, right. Yeah. Wearing the slippers, yeah. God dang, man. Did you have any idea how much she was, because that's hate. If you can have somebody off, I mean, you got to hate somebody. I mean, really, like,
yeah.
I mean, did you have any idea that it was that bad?
You know, we had our difficulties. I'm not going to lie. We were going through ups and downs. It was mostly about the kids, you know. And you know, this is a person. Let me just say about that. She was from Mexico City. She came here for the American dream. She married me and became an American citizen. She got all her papers. I got her kids' papers and mother. They all got papers because of me. They're here legally in this country because of me. She got the American dream real quick. You know, she had a big house. She had all the money, a business. And then after she got all she needed, it seems like to me, like, you know what, I don't need you anymore. That's it. You know, I can go my own way now, and that's it. And then I have to live off of you now.
God.
And that's what it seemed like to me. It was all about the money. She got the American citizenship, and that's it. You know, I'm done with you. You know, okay. And it could have been easy, just move on and divorce, and that's it. But no, she wanted the money. She wanted the business. She wanted the house. She wanted everything.
And she got,
going that way.
How much time did she get?
She pleaded down to a second degree solicitation of capital murder because the evidence was just a mountain. It was a mountain of evidence against her, and in the county where I live, she probably would have got life if she was being. If she would have tried to go to she would have gone to a jury trial. It was just too much against her. I guess that her after about a year in the county prison, she pleaded down to a second degree and she got 20 years. And then she's locked up right now in the state penitentiary, women's penitentiary in Texas.
2035, she'll get out.
About, you know, yeah, no, not only that, she can get out before then, you know, for good behavior and all that stuff, and you know, and. It still haunts me, you know, to see that this person, for what she did, can still get out.
Yeah, yeah, that's crazy, man. And, you know, it's not like it's not like you're a soft guy. You're a well-known boxing coach. You understand being physical. It's not like you're afraid of somebody. You've gone through your own journey, you know, and you think, man, I mean, but that's genuinely frightening. Like, somebody will just plot to have you killed behind your back and look you in the eye the whole time.
Exactly. You know, I was sleeping with the enemy. I was.
I bet that
I was literally sleeping with the enemy, one eye open every night.
I bet it was the best sex ever in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
always is, man.
This lady was wonderful. You know, and the thing is that everybody has their own thing. You must have done something. There's two sides to every story. Yeah, there's two sides to every story. That's why I'm out here. She's locked up. She would have done the right thing. She would have been right here with her kids.
Mm-hmm. You know? God dang, man. That's so. Are you worried when she gets out that she may go for another round? Or do you think that she's at least learned that lesson and she wouldn't screw with you?
I'm always, you know, take care of myself. I'm always prepared for anything. I'm a man of God, and I pray every day and take care of my kids. And if it is my time, it is my time. I don't think she would go through anything like that. I don't think about it too much because it's just been so crazy. I used to fight. At the beginning, I was crazy. It was just, I was sleeping in my bed with a loaded shotgun. I had a .45 in my car, loaded all the time. Yeah. I had a 9mm. I couldn't be around a lot of people. Still can't be a lot around people. So I still live, I don't know if you had a plan B that, you know, when people go crazy or when they hear this, come about this kind of story that feel sorry for her. But, you know, this lady, she was a sheep dressed in wolves. You know,
yeah, yeah. She was definitely a wolf in sheep's clothing. Tell me this: have you had another girlfriend since then? Can you fall in love with somebody?
Yeah, you know, I'm actually dating somebody. She's a wonderful person, and when she knows what happened, and she, you know, she even had her worries about me, like, you know, what did you do? You know, it's always that, what did you do to make this lady go crazy and, you know, try to kill you? So that, you had to do something.
You had money. And she went, let me tell you, Kira, this. First of all, if you ever do get ready to get married again, you got a prenup.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, no. She's definitely, I don't do nothing without. And we talked about that, and she does well for herself. She's in the medical business. She does well for herself, but I don't do nothing like that. I wouldn't. If I do decide to get married again, I would be like, you know what? Let's just do this the right way, just in case.
Absolutely. And you know what? And I'd take her to the range and see if she was any good at shooting.
Well, you know.
You want to test her.
Yeah, very, very crazy.
Oh,
but, you know, what I'm doing now, I can say that everything that happened to me, I'm working on a book right now. It should be coming out at the beginning of the year.
Good.
And the reason I'm doing it is because I want couples or people to out there that even think about going through this or through all family problems or husband and wife and just to read my story and see that it's not worth it. It's not worth it. I'm still not. I will never be the same person ever. And she will, of course, she'll never be the same person. So it's a lose-lose situation. You know, I'm alive, but I still live, you know, very, very. It's a strange feeling.
I'm sure. I can't wait to read the book, man. I mean, because it is, you know, like now you come out the other side, you make a joke because that's how you blow off steam. But, man, in the end, that's what a horrifying thing. Because at one point, you love this woman enough to bring her family here, to love her, to marry her, to bring her into your world. She was your other. And to think, man, in such a short time, it can go to the point where she would laugh at a picture of your dead body in a shallow grave.
Exactly. It's horrible, you know, and there's so many ups and downs in my story, in my life, that you know, it'll make you cry, it'll make you laugh, and it'll make you be angry at the same time. It's just crazy.
Well, man, I can't wait to read it, man. And I appreciate you coming by, Ramon. It's because it is such a crazy story. Man, when the book comes out, promise me that we'll take some time and I'll read the book cover to cover, and then I'll have you on.
Yeah, appreciate it. It's going to be great. There's so much more that there's not out there in the media that happened in my life, and that's what it's all about, that, you know, what people can understand, that, you know, see both sides.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Listen, be safe, be well, my friend, and I'll talk to you soon, I hope.
Great. Thank you for having me, Michelle.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.